The other day, we were talking about one mathematical tool, which is called Markov chains, which is a part of stochastic analysis or stochastic. It will be part for simulation of physical problems of stochastic differential equations. So we define what is a Markov chain. We define that a Markov chain. Well, I mentioned that there is a set of possible what we call space set of possible events in our chain. But I started talking about this probability distributions. That's because we trade the stochastic thing. So instead of talking about the stochastic relations between events, we talk about deterministic events, relations between probability distributions. So we have events following some probability distribution. We can do a mapping, and that's why that's easier to work with, to work deterministically with probability distributions. So we said that we can have an invariant distribution in a Markov chain if, and we call it pi, if multiplying the Markov the stochastic matrix with the probability distribution on all the states returns itself. Where n is the Markov time. And we also, I didn't define reversible homogeneous Markov chains, right? The property called detail valence. Did I do it? No. So let us start by defining this. So cell. So, and this condition defines what is a time reversible homogeneous Markov chain. Or, in other words, if a Markov chain, well, is defined by this matrix, satisfies this property, then we say that it satisfies detailed balance. Of course, one distribution satisfying this must be invariant. So detailed balance implies this thing above, because I show here. So the sum we start with the right hand side and we see that we can use this to change the indices. So we have pi on j sum over I of j I. Okay, using this equality, and this is pi of j. So if detailed balance is satisfied, then the Markov chain is invariant. And now we define the last definition is an ergodic Markov chain. So Markov chain is ergodic if the probability distributions in all the steps, well, n labels the Markov time or the steps in the chain, these probability distributions are closer and closer to the to one invariant distribution as the time increases, as we go on in the chain. And it must be independent of the initial probability distribution. You remember that we define, so we start with a probability distribution, and then we apply a procedure to get more distributions, starting from that. This defines the Markov chain, right? So if it happens that the procedure we define produces an invariant distribution independently of the initial one, we have an ergodic Markov chain, and this is precisely what we want, to generate states following the distribution we were interested in, the exponential of minus the action divided by the partition function. So this leads us to a fundamental theorem that, I mean, it's not so important, but just to make you aware that there are many studies on this topic, and this is a particular case of the theorem for a particular situation, but it has been proven in many other scenarios with many other type of Markov chains or whatever. I just restrict to one simple case. Homogeneous means this. Homogeneous Markov chain on a finite state space with Tij, and let pi be if Okay, this is the theorem. It tells you when a given homogeneous Markov chain on, in this particular case, in defined on a finite space, is ergodic. And okay, then we have seen that in this case we have everything to construct to produce field configurations or paths that are what we need for the computation we're interested in. And we see that this theorem also tells you the rate of convergence of the probability distributions and of any observable we can define on this Markov chain. Now, how do we eat all of this in our case? So let us talk of about the particular case of a quantum mechanical system. Then, as we said, in order to compute correlation functions, we shall I wait a bit till you copy? Or just a few seconds. Okay, so in the case of Monte Carlo simulations based on Markov chain, before I was using MC for Markov chains. Now it could happen that I use MC for Monte Carlo. Depending on the book you're reading, you can find different conventions. In some books, you can find even MC, so Markov chain Monte Carlo. I think if it is not clear in the from the context, you to ask me. But okay, it's not so important. We will not enter into much details. So one Markov chain is based on, we said, based on one space of, say, states. And they correspond to the paths or the field configurations. Okay, so response. Bestät is correspond in bestehen. What is bestehen in English? Yes. This corresponds or?
Also, was bestehen is consist of.
Ah, okay. That's okay. And yes, this makes sense. Yes, because I have the notes in German, but I tried to translate everything, but apparently I made some mistakes. Thank you. So we expect that the transition probability between states in the chain satisfy this property. And well, we can, I think, we can plot this is the set of states, yes, and we can define x1 t here, then we have x2 t, another path, x3 t, x4, and so right, and so on. And we will have probability distribution between all of them, which, yeah. So this is P1 to 2, this is P2 to 1, this is P3 to 1. Well, there are all the possibilities, and well, I don't know. Obviously, I cannot draw all the possibilities, but so we will have some mechanism to generate, produce new paths starting from one. From one probability distribution, we produce all the others. And the jumps from state to state have are given by this. Now we construct this probability, the transition probability, such that at large, no, enough times, the probability of the probability distribution that is followed by states is, as we said, as I said before, given by this expression. And as I said, P of X J tilde T is the probability distribution of the Markov chain to be in this state. Then so is we have in this situation we have an invariant distribution. So when we advance in the chain, the probability distributions that are followed by the states are the same at any time. So in our case, so in the ingredients, well, talking in the language of the blackboard above, the probability distribution, what's the name of this? The invariant distribution, pi, is already given. Is this one? Okay, we want to achieve this. Then we have to think of a Markov process of a T. Matrix, a matrix that transforms, which entries are all the states to all the states, that satisfies these conditions, right? So, this condition, yeah. So. Although it's not necessary, sometimes you want to satisfy what was detailed balance. It's not a necessary condition, but it's a sufficient condition. Okay. So, as we said, detailed balance implies the line above. So implies this. But it's just because it's, in practice, usually easier to implement or to get something that is satisfies detailed balance. So,
fair.
I remember that detail balance is in this notation of paths could be something to be written like the following. Okay, so we look for some transition probability that satisfies this equation. And we proved both that this detailed balance implies this. Okay. Thank you. Now, so how can we choose this pj to k? This is the this is a very important question, particularly for real problems. Of course, yes. Probably this is a definition of a real problem. If you find a very good algorithm to, so a very good procedure to get this probability distribution, you probably get, I don't know, but perhaps you can have a lot of success in this field. This is the workhorse. One example, for instance, in QCD, the most used algorithm for non-chemical potential is the so-called hybrid Monte Carlo, HMC. But we are going to describe a much easier thing, which is called Metropolis algorithm. I don't know if some of you perhaps know this algorithm, but okay, it's a very simple idea, but very, very clever. Of course, it has 60 years or so, but okay. So let me define the Metropolis. So all the business here reduces to find this type of probability distribution, right? Or the stochastic process or transition distribution. So the Metropolis algorithm is easy and I don't know in English this word, I translated to Spanish, but field-sightish, versatile, or I don't know how to pronounce it. So it's applied in many fields, many cases. Now it's a basic ingredient of many other algorithms. It's also a step in the hybrid Monte Carlo that I talked to you before when we talk about QCD. But usually it's very slow. Very slow means that in this set of configurations or paths or whatever states we have, we want to explore as much as possible the full set. We don't want to restrict to a small corner of the set. We just need to get a representative set or subset of this ensemble. And that's why I say that it's langsam, because usually it requires a lot of Monte Carlo steps or Markov steps to achieve a representative ensemble. So let us define the algorithm. The nth Metropolis step is defined as follows. Suggest randomly from the actual path X, well, I call it now And this must be satisfied, and it's in principle very easy. Okay. I need to move the blackboard. Okay, can you see? For instance, following from this point, stupid procedure to get new, or naive procedure to get new, or to get this WJK could be the following. Choosing randomly means uniform probability distribution. And change the value of the path. So it just choose a time randomly and make a shift to the path at this point. The shift is also randomly chosen from a given interval. Of course, this will modify the weight in the functional integral. And if we get a good or a representative path depends on how big this is, right? If we go very far away, let's think of a classical trajectory. If we move to a trajectory which is something like this, of course, the way it will be not representative, so it will be a stupid trial, right? But in principle, it's okay. It's not from a mathematical point of view. It's good enough. Now, the next step is accept the new path. With probability, so this is called, okay, I don't give a name, This is all the idea of the Metropolis algorithm. So we propose a new path, and you can call your grandmother to propose a new path, or you can do whatever you like. The key point is that you accept the new path with this probability, the minimum of 1 and the ratio of exponentials. So the ratio of the actual probability distribution that we want the state to follow, right? If so, we play again the dice. We ask for a random number to get between 0 and 1 to get this acceptance. If we get smaller than this, we get it. This new state is, wait. Yes, and we set the new step as the proposed one. So the new step in the Markov chain will be the proposed step. If the probability is smaller, is larger than this, so we keep the old step in the chain. So we repeat the step. Okay. The proof that this algorithm satisfies detailed balance is as follows. It's very simple. So the initial probability is e to the minus s xj divided by z times this wj notation. Okay. Times the minimum 1 and exponential okay, this is the probability. So we want to prove, no, I canceled this board, but I think I wrote here. Yes, this equation here, right? This is the exponential of minus s divided by z, and the rest is this part, okay? And we want to prove this equation above. So this line is equal to okay. It's clear. I have put the exponential inside the. So I mean, if the minimum of the minimum, if I multiply the minimum of one and this ratio by the exponential, we get this, right? And I changed the indices here because I said that in the Metropolis algorithm we force this to be. But this is obviously the result we're looking for. So this is, again, we extract k, we remain. So this is what we wanted to prove. Now, this proves that the Metropolis algorithm produces paths with the weight we need. Thank you. Okay, so as I said before, we want to explore as much as possible the space of states and in a short time. And this, the meaning of short time depends on the problem in our hands. So we need A and B. We need that this new suggested path is as different as possible from the old one. Otherwise, we have this more or less the same information all the time, right? We explore a very small region. But if we have a very different path, as I drew before, we can have rejections. So we can, the metropolis step will tell us that the probability of accepting this state is zero or close to zero. This ratio can be very small, and then the minimum of one and something very small is something very small, and the step is rejected. So, and this will imply long correlation of data. When we do the statistical analysis, we apply the Monte Carlo formula, we find that we need much more statistics to get an independent or some independent measurements. Okay. Now, of course, this depends, in our case, this basically depends on the choice of this delta x. This tunes more or less everything. In the case of a quantum mechanical system. No. So, other questions till here? Sorry, I didn't. Okay. Now let's do a kind of tutorial. In quantum mechanics, we will study the one anharmonic oscillator. And we will see how to study this problem numerically. So let us consider the following problem. So we add x to the 4 to the potential of the harmonic oscillator. The goal, as I tried to write in the title of the section is Su minus E omega with help of So this is the problem. We want to determine the energy shift between the ground state of our problem and the first excited state with negative parity. What time do we finish? At 12? Usually, I don't...
Quarter
to 12. Ah, okay. Thank you. Okay. This is kind of tutorial how to, so I will proceed step by step. Step one. we express all dimension quantities in terms of the lattice spacing, which is also a dimensionful quantity. So we have some authors write a hat on top of a quantity to denote that this is dimensionless. So, for instance, in this case, it would be... I think that Mark also recommend you the book by Rothe, and this author follows this convention. So this is, well, could be, it's a bit stupid, no, but in this case, the lattice spacing is 1. Because we write it in units of the lattice spacing, we write the x as, yes, again, the physical one divided by the minimal distance in minimum distance of our problem, and also the time. At the end, we will have everything expressed in terms of A. So, okay. Also, yes, W hat will be W times A from this expression. And because, yes, this must have dimension of energy or mass. So. These two must have opposite dimensions. and so on. Also, lambda must be lambda times a to the 5, I guess, no? Yes. Okay. Then step two. So the next step is to produce parts using a suitable Monte Carlo algorithm. In this example, we will use the Metropolis. And the chosen parameters for that we studied two cases. T equals 64 m hat equal m. Second case, we studied these two cases, and the first one we know how to solve it analytically, but well, it's convenient to have a reference, right, to see that everything is done correctly. But there is one remark. So, yes, we have, this is obvious, no, but it's an important point to remark. We have a minimal distance, A, and a maximal one. And we cannot get from these simulations results that are bigger than T or smaller than A. But by definition, we are bounded to some region of, in principle, there is no limit. We can do it. A as small as we are interested in, and T as large as we want. But this requires computational effort. So for instance, the energy spectrum, well, the parameters are tuned that such that it, we can find the spectrum. So we start with a hot path. Hot path means that it's random, completely random, okay? And it's bounded to this interval. Okay, so we start with hot configuration and we perform 1,000 thermalization steps. This is another technical word, meaning that, well, in each Markov or Monte Carlo step, we update, as we said before, in the example, in the naive example we're following, one of the points are updated only, okay? And thermalization step means that usually before we achieve the equilibrium distribution, we need to perform some steps in the chain. We know from the theorem I wrote and I deleted before that the convergence is guaranteed, but we need some time to achieve it. Now, yes. So we perform 1 million further steps after thermalization, as this case is not so computationally demanding. We consider that an acceptance rate of 50% is enough. We'll have large autocorrelations, but we can produce many measurements. So we keep this delta x, the one parameter that I wrote about before, as 6 in units of the lattice spacing. And we consider this is enough for our purposes. Afterwards, we will measure every 10th So we measure the observables every 10th step. And at the end, we will observe that the observables are not independent. And we can observe that when we try to compute the error, the statistical error. In order to remove the dependence of one step from the others, we do binning. Binning is a statistical procedure. So we have it's very easy to understand. Each point is a measurement. Instead of consider all of them to compute the error, we do blocks. In this case, I took block size of 2. And these are our new samples, blocked or binned samples. When we repeat this procedure with different block sizes and we plot the statistical error of one observable O against the block size, we will see that this behaves like this. And then, from this point up, we can say that every measurement is independent. So if this point is, 50, we say we need to do blocks of 50, and the resulting measurements are independent. If we have enough measurements after this procedure to be able to compute safely the statistical errors, we are happy and we can consider that this was successful. Otherwise, we will need to increase statistics. Now, I think it's time to conclude. So I will show a couple of transparencies in the next week, but before I already printed some plots to show, to make you, it's not the case we're talking about, but it's even a better case. It's a real case of Monte Carlo algorithm, the HMC algorithm I told you before, simulating real QCD with only two flavors, two light flavors in the theory, at the physical point. And you see what is thermalization. So you see that we expect to have a on the y-axis you have an observable, a typical observable. This is related to the gluonic action. And on the x-axis you have the Monte Carlo time. And you expect to have oscillation of the observable around some value, flat Gaussian oscillation because of the central limit theorem. You see that at the beginning this is not the case, but probably after 200 or 250 or perhaps a bit afterwards, we can expect that we achieved equilibrium. We have an invariant distribution. Everything that is before this point is called thermalization. You can plot in order to know what is the thermalization point or what is safe to consider. You can plot something like number of skipped Monte Carlo points, sorry, the other way around. Well, it doesn't matter. Okay. You plot the average of the observable. And you see that you cut, for instance, you cut from 10 and you perform the average. You can from 50 and you perform the average, and so on. And you will see that from some point on, again, you get some kind of plateau, some kind of stable. And so you can consider that this is safe. It's an empirical test, but it's what people do in practice. So that's why I told you. Okay, next week we conclude this topic. Thank you.